Clubhouse.
Tómame, despacio, atrápame. Haz lo que quieras conmigo.
There is a lot of content in the world. Each year, we're inundated with thousands of hours of television, hundreds of new movies, and music every week. It can be overwhelming. How do you know what's worth your time and what you should just skip? Well, luckily, Pod Clubhouse is here to help.
Hi, y'all. It's Kat, co-host of Latinx Blends. I'm joined by Rosa.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Kat.
Hey, and we're joining Pod Clubhouse for this episode of Love It or Leave It. This is your first time on here, right, Rosa?
Yes. Yes, it is.
If you've been listening to Pod Clubhouse, you've probably heard me before. I've done a few TV recaps, a few Love It or Leave It episodes, and I love everyone here, so I'm happy to be back and have Rosa join me in this episode. We're discussing, you'll probably say this better than me, Rosa, pan y circo.
Circo, yes.
Circo. And that's the new talk show from Diego Luna that's premiered on Amazon, and it's going to be 7 episodes. The first 3 have already dropped, and those are the ones that we're going to be talking about now. I'll read out the synopsis. So, conversations unite experts and different personalities to touch fundamental topics of universal interest in contemporary societies, accompanied by the menus of well-known Mexican chefs. But what did you think before you started this? Like, did you watch the trailer? Because that little synopsis actually doesn't really do it justice, I think. And that's from IMDb.
Yeah. No, I didn't watch anything. No trailers, anything beforehand. I just went in blind. I didn't even read the synopsis, to be honest. I just went in blind. So after you read it right now, I probably would not have thought it was going to be what we just watched.
I kind of love these shows that center around food. I'm a big like food show kind of person, like Top Chef. There was like this Final Table, like competition, but anything around that deals with food and then people end up talking. And so I like this concept. And it's so weird that like Diego Luna was doing this. And I was like, well, I like Diego Luna. Food, Diego Luna, I'm there. And then I saw Gael Garcia Bernal in the trailer as well. I was like, I'm there.
You're a perfect combo.
Yeah, because I love both of them so much. Gael's smile is just so infectious. I'm like, oh my God, yes.
I agree.
And so yeah, it was interesting, like the concept. So overall, like, what were your thoughts after seeing these 3 episodes? Do you know what it's about? Is it like weird? I don't know. Because it's very new in my, as for this kind of form. I think
format.
It's like a very, yeah.
It's something new to me. I don't watch a lot of series or anything like that. Yeah, it was very new in a sense that they would use food and have a conversation while you're eating. And an interesting concept that I did take from it that really caught my attention was that they would always put their phones away before, well, in the last 2 episodes, 2nd and 3rd episodes, because according to them, if the phones were present, the conversation wouldn't be the same, because apparently psychologically it does something to you. So for this podcast, I put my phone away. And let's see if it works or not. But overall, generally, it was something I was not expecting, in both good and bad. Overall, I very much liked it. Again, the format was a bit different to me, so I had to rewatch it again to see if it worked for me or not. Yeah, well, because I'm so used to watching films, and I guess my brain is somehow programmed to work in a certain way. So to see these 3 episodes, the way they were formatted, was a bit strange, something I'm not familiar with. And so I had to not deprogram my brain, but kind of expose it again to this format.
I mean, I watched a lot of these type of shows, and it is new. I'm still kind of mixed on whether, you know, I like, there's some pros and cons. Yeah. First off, I think the big thing that we should probably let people know is this is all in Spanish. So Diego Luna is meeting with different types of folks. And it's mostly focused on like Mexican, like it's focused on big issues that affect the whole world. But it's primarily, he invites people with each episode to discuss one certain topic. But then he invites folks who are like kind of experts or have knowledge in their respective fields from Mexico, right? And like not all Mexican, mostly like people who speak Spanish. So there's a few who are like one person was from Colombia and stuff. So that's kind of gives you the sense of that. Which overall it felt really interesting to me. I mean, I knew from the trailer, but I was like, oh, maybe there'll be some like intermixing of English or I don't know what, you know, and it wasn't. It's full on Spanish, which is, it was cool because I think it gives you another perspective and really forces you as well, at least in my opinion, to really focus you know, because I mean, I can kind of understand Spanish, but like they're speaking really big words like that I don't know in Spanish, and they talk really fast. And so I had to read the subtitles. I don't know. I found it though that I was very much more engaged in some ways because of that. What about you? Because I know you said you watched it twice, like these three episodes, because the first one you were watching just without subtitles.
Yes. So I decided to test myself and see if I actually was fluent in Spanish, not only speaking it, but listening, and not only like listening, understanding it, but comprehending what they were saying. I had forgotten how fast they can speak it. And for the most part, first time around, I did understand what they were saying. Yes, they were using these huge words that I had no idea what they were talking about. So eventually I had to watch it a second time around with the captions on to kind of see if I was understanding about what I was grasping was the correct concept, which for the most part it was. But second time around, I was able to nitpick a few things here and there, and I was able to understand the format a little bit more about it. It is interesting to see how, and they did have a variety of guests. For the most part, they are predominantly from Mexico. They did have somebody from Colombia, and they did have, I think she was an Argentinian journalist as well. And then I think they also had somebody like from Central America. It was either Guatemala or El Salvador. It was interesting to see how you can get all these different intellectuals from different countries in Latin America. And unfortunately, they understand all these social issues that are going on because just like you said, it's so universal. It's happening not only in Mexico, it's happening in a lot of different places. That was very intriguing to watch. The other concept that really triggered me and it put certain things into perspective was, well, because Diego Luna, apparently he's a chef. I had no idea about that. Making him more attractive, right? Yeah, he's cooking. He's like, I'll bring the bread or yo traigo el pan and you guys are the circus or ustedes me traen el circo. Pretty much you guys are going to be the entertainment. You guys are going to bring the subject matter. You guys are going to do the conversation. Regardless of the guests and the diverse path of lives and their experiences and their backgrounds, they were all eating together. So regardless of your opinions and regardless of your cultural background, regardless of anything, at the end of the day, we're all human. We all need to eat. If they were all to get cut, they would all bleed. So in other words, I found it very interesting that with the little concept of just eating and cooking for everybody the same food, and everybody was enjoying it and everybody was having fun with it, but just to throw in that little concept in there that yes, we can sit on a table, we can dialogue, we can debate, but at the end of the day, we're all the same and we are all affected by all these social issues.
Yeah. And I think that was something that, like, even though this format is kind of familiar, I think that's when it felt really new. Because first off, I think especially being from the States, we usually get these kind of shows that would be kind of like the same kind of people, right? Like that we usually see on these type of like intellectual shows and like the think makers, and like it would probably be some of the same. And I feel like Diego Luna probably had access to some of those people. But I love that he chose to really focus on individuals from Latin America, like South America, Latin America, who I don't know if they get this platform to really kind of speak on in terms of like, I mean, it's on Amazon. So a lot of people are going to watch it.
Yeah.
That was really cool. Most of those folks that I saw, except for maybe one of the journalists, because unfortunately she was like in an incident of like main news and stuff. I didn't know any of those other folks, you know, and I found it so cool to know that, I don't know, I think we get such involved in our bubble, right, in America, that we're like, it's only this that we can think of. And it's like, there's so many other people out there that we should be listening to as well. Just because they don't speak our language doesn't mean like we can't have them in the conversation. And I found it really nice to open my, just in terms of like for myself, like now I have access to these folks and I want to go and research them and like learn about what they were talking about and the fact that they have such a different perspective because of their issues that are going on, but they're still some of the same things that we deal with and all over the world. And it was really exciting in that way, just hearing new voices.
Yeah, and it seems like you and I are in this journey and in this trend of experiencing and learning and being exposed to all these different stories. Just recently, we reviewed the movie From Peru that was also about social issues and things that they were addressed in this series. So yes, I'm right there with you. I'm fascinated by the fact that I'm learning all these different stories. And you're right, we are so privileged and we are so encapsulated isolated in our own bubble that we don't see what's going around the world. And it's something that it has to change.
Yeah. The second and third episode are kind of, I think, what they aim to do for the rest of the, you know, five episodes.
Yeah.
But the first one, just to note, was a little different because they address, and Diego Luna kind of does a speech in the beginning of that first episode where he said they filmed it a year ago. He just didn't want it to kind of go without being said about the COVID situation. And mm-hmm. So I just want to tell people, like, that first episode is going to be a lot of Zoom, which we're very familiar with at this point. That was a really interesting episode. And I kind of liked that even though they have this show made and everything, that they chose to still do something around the pandemic, which I think was really smart. And also just something that I guess is going to be possibly a new thing for us, you know, like now in this new world that we're in. What did you think of that episode in terms of like the fact that they addressed it and that it was ballsy to do that as a first episode and not have like the more production one go first, right? And then maybe have this one at the end. So what did you think of that choice of putting this episode first?
It's ideal because, like you said, it's something we're becoming familiarized with. It's something we're getting used to. For him to start with that episode, and also I think it was also the topic itself to address the pandemic and just to see how it's affected his five guests and as well as himself, because he does have a little bit of input and tells them his own little stories as well. And just to see how it's affecting a lot of us around the world, but also how it's affecting people from different socioeconomic status. I did find it very interesting in the first episode to have people like to have a doctor and to have an environmentalist and have a restaurant owner. So people who are more directly affected by this. And then to also, I think they also had a writer and they had like a social psychologist. And the topics they were addressing overall, not only as to how it's being affected to their lives in a personal level, but as a society, the stats that they were saying and everything. But those were very interesting because you don't, again, we're so wrapped up into what we're doing. We're so wrapped up into our everyday life. We don't view the larger scope. We don't view the microscopic effects of the pandemic from the economic aspect of it to domestic violence. And like even the increase of pregnancies and even just in general, your mental health, what it does to you. And then they also, they go into, they don't shy away, not as deep as I would have loved for them to go into, but they do address how the government has been addressing this, the government of Mexico, the president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, and how they've been addressing it and how the guests feel about it, and as well as Diego Luna. However, I don't, the format itself, even though I tried to watch it twice because it was so different, I think it was
in that first episode, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The way it was cut and it would go back and forth from the Zoom and everything that he was doing back to him cooking in the kitchen and preparing the meals that he would eventually send to his guests, to me, it was a bit awkward to a point where whatever conversation and whatever interest that was having in these conversations and the topic and the analysis they were having kind of took away from it, because you were having this insightful conversation going on and then you would just cut to him cooking the lasagna and cooking whatever he was cooking. And then it would go back and forth. So it didn't have the full effect that of the potential that it could have had, just because of, I don't know. I just found it a bit weird the way it was edited. It was primarily the first episode, because the other two, it's more of a, they were getting the food brought to them. So I guess that was the ideal format they were going for, just like you said. So in those two episodes, it's not as bad. But the first one, just a tiny bit.
Yeah. No, I think I agree with you, because the first one I was like, oh, is this the way it's going to be? But then I will say, and just we're making a distinction because I think the second two are different. But yeah, the first one, it definitely felt a bit like over edited. And I wish they would, especially with these topics that are so heavy, especially like, you know, they were talking about the pandemic and it's something that we have lived, you know, and I feel like I wish they would have lingered on the Zooms and like maybe some more awkward things. And, you know, that comes with that instead of trying to like, because he not only had one Zoom conversation with like five people, but then there was like another, there was separate ones that he had with like a few other folks that are going to be in the later episodes. And it just felt like there was like too much going on. And I was like, this is like so much information that I want. I love all the talk, especially now. Like, I think this is one of the first ones to really comment on this as it's happening, right? And like have something, a show on it or whatever, or address it in this way. And so I felt like it was really important or really cool to see. But I also thought, like, man, I wish you would have just let it like kind of sit. And like in this case, less would have been more. And we would have all followed along, because all those people who he had are so interesting. And I, you know, if you guys are going to watch it, like it is going to be really cool topics, but I feel like they would get cut off like in the weird places. And I wanted to hear them talk a little bit longer. And I don't know what the process was in the edit room where they were, maybe they were just afraid it was not going to be dynamic enough and like it was going to be boring or something. But to me, I don't know, it was fine. I think they just overdid it with a lot of different information all at once. And then the cooking and just all over the place in some ways. If you can get through that one, I still find it, I think this is also season one, you know, first three episodes. I think it's like a Diego Luna's passion project, it feels like, because you can tell he really cares about it. And seeing he's been one of the, honestly, throughout the three episodes, he was the highlight. And in some ways, like, he does let the guest just be, you know, because I was like, oh, is this just a show for him to like tell us all his thoughts on these things? And I think he really is taking it seriously, where he's like, he wants to bring these people together and have them talk more. Because sometimes there's like periods of time throughout the episodes where like, I'm like, oh, where's Diego Luna? You know, because like he's just letting them talk and letting the show like do itself. And he's only probably, he's like the one that can bring it together because of his star power, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I found that really cool of him to kind of lend. He's basically lending his platform and doing
Exactly. Yeah. I was about to tell you that. He's just using his platform and just allowing people to discuss the issues that deserve to be discussed, that we should be talking and having these conversations about. Yeah, absolutely. And I really appreciate it. Although he does moderate the episodes. I did notice from the three episodes, he was the most silent on episode two. And I could not have thanked him more for it.
So episode two is called Not Even One More or
Ni Una Más.
Gender violence. And you're right. I think I give him credit, because like it just shows like he's really committed to being I hate using this word, but like I guess like an ally, right? And he's really like walking the walk and talking the talk and giving these people the platform to talk about these issues and have a dialogue, because he chose the gender to be the second episode. And yeah, you're right, because he's kind of like the setting is more like they're in a really nice, like cool modern space, and then like he's the head of the table. And it was so funny, because like he's the head of the table with all the women, and then in that one he was probably he just let them talk. Like I think he only inserted a few things, but he definitely let them be the ones to lead the conversation, which was cool.
I think it's obvious and it's logical that out of the three episodes, that was the one that hit me the most on a personal level as a woman. And of course, as a mother and a daughter, it was just, to me, it was a powerful, powerful episode in general. I love that he had so many different women, very smart, intellectual women, professionals. You had a journalist and you had activists, you had lawyers, you had a mother of a victim, just to get all those different perspectives. It was a difficult watch for me. Just sitting through it and just hearing all these stories and going through our culture and how our culture, our traditions have unfortunately paved the way for all these murders and all these femicides to happen. Also, film and TV media and something we're really focusing on, how that also has a lot to do with it. It's a contributing factor. It was certainly a very powerful and moving episode for me. Definitely, definitely recommend everybody to watch this particular episode. We can say, we can sit here and we can judge, well, Mexico should be able to handle its own issues and handle its own problems. But we're also currently in the Me Too movement. No, women are not getting murdered here, but we are getting harassed and we do get discriminated against, which is not that far away, that far off from what's happening in Mexico. That happens just because we're women. That's certainly a topic and a very important topic to worth discussing.
I think seeing it, because the Me Too movement here, we've seen, it's been embedded now, kind of, you know, with everything and kind of, not the same stories, but, the same narrative, right? And we know it, and we're trying to do better and all that. But mm-hmm. I think also seeing it from Mexico's perspective and, seeing what the women over there go through, I mean, I'm going to be honest, I don't know. You know, I see a little bits and pieces if I'm lucky to pass by it on the news, because I'm not actively searching for it because, you know, there's so much stuff going on here. It's so much to deal with. Yeah. But it was really interesting to see that episode because it really made you feel, especially as a woman and being, you know, Mexican American and I don't know, it was just the things that they brought up, I've been exposed to in some sense, not the violence or anything, but just the culture of it, how they were talking about, you know, how the culture permeates through even little things that you don't even notice, you know, like on the shows and then that's acceptable, the men gawking at little, the girls, Chabelo, yeah. which I never liked, I have to say. When I was little, it was annoying. And when I only had four shows, he was one of the ones that came up, and then seeing it in this context where he would gawk at those girls that were there, yeah. and he's an older man, and I was like, ugh. And so seeing examples from another country and you see it so blatant, and then you can take that to what's going on here and you're like, man, we're in this together. Yeah. Unfortunately, we're having to deal with all that, but highly recommend that episode. And the format, it definitely got back into what it was you're going to expect for the next episodes, which the, you know, the chef, they're bringing out these meals. And then they also, I liked what they did with each guest when they start talking for the first time, they kind of intercut it with if they're an activist or whatever they do, they show them in their real life, little bits actually doing what they're talking about. Right. So it's not just you believe that they're doing this. It's no, you actually get to see that they are active. And I think just gives credibility to these folks that are on here, because right. it's not just oh, we just gotta believe them. What did you think of that? Mixing it in with the real life footage.
It was neat. Yeah, just like you said, it gives them the credibility. It takes you to and makes you realize that, unfortunately, these people have been at it for such a long time. They've been having these conversations and they've been doing whatever they can to have these conversations for quite some time. Yeah, it was interesting. It was neat. I liked it. It was good. Yeah, episode 2, I cannot recommend it enough. It's certainly... Man, I was surprised on how much they were able to cover. I think this episode was a bit shorter than the first one, and the amount of talk and the amount of topics they were able to cover, from just simply deprogramming your brain, because we're so trained, we're raised in a patriarchal society, so we're so trained, and the movies and the television and the media, it further yeah. validates that brain for us to be networked that way. So to untrain ourselves to not go be anti-patriarchal, but more of a breaking that mentality, the misogyny and the machismo. When you try to do that, you're also fault for it. If you're a man and you try to do that as well, they accuse you and they diminish your character simply for trying to to do that. And if you're a woman, then you're a feminist or you're just radical leftist, whatever you want to call it. So yeah, I found it very interesting that they were addressing all those topics. And yeah, they were able to cover so much. And the marches that they were having, apparently they had a big march right before the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And it was women literally boycott everything. They weren't at work. They weren't at home. They were literally marching for their lives, pretty much. Yeah, that was pretty fascinating. If anything, this episode just left me more motivated and more pumped up. Not only for me, but for my daughters, you know, to leave them a better future, and hopefully they don't have to go or suffer or experience any of this violence. Yeah.
Yeah. in this episode and the third one, and I'm guessing in the future episodes, that like all the women were there, right? And they, not all of them agreed, and there was some like some folks who got called out, and it was like interesting because it was like also like, ooh, awkward, you know. And then, but I think that's something that we also, I felt like, I'm glad they left that in there. I'm glad it wasn't just everyone agreeing with each other and thinking that their way is like the best way or whatever, because that's the whole point of the show that he's trying to do, is like, we have to sit down and have these tough conversations, and you're kind of forced to stay there because you're having a meal, or you're trying to be civilized as well, so you can't get out of control like it does in other situations, like if they were on another show or just like in their other lives where people can kind of, you know, be more combative. I don't know, you can raise your voice in a table, but like you got to be kind of, you got to keep it, right, civil. Yeah. And so I think that was really interesting because those women, like, I mean, not all of them, like, they had good points. I mean, they were respectful. I liked seeing that opposing views, because I think nowadays we don't get to see, like, we are so much on our phones and our social media, and we never get to see the person face to face. And in this show, they're seeing themselves face to face. They have to talk about these things. And I hope that it just made me realize, like, maybe we should try to emulate that too, you know. And if you want to have these tough conversations like he's trying to do, we need to have it face to face without any phones or distractions, and just like human to human, which I think is really, really nice. And it's crazy that this is, it seems like it's so weird now because we're so digital.
Yeah. And it was very interesting. I don't know. Are you talking about episode two, like with the journalist and then, okay. Yeah. The, like, she was an activist and a rapper as well, or something like that.
Well, no. There was a nonprofit or somebody who works for the government. And
Yes.
Yeah. And I guess we're going into a little bit of spoilers if you guys are, you know, haven't seen it yet.
But yeah, it was interesting, and it speaks volumes of everybody's experience, because you can tell the journalist, she's probably comes from a more privileged background. I don't think she's ever had to suffer or live like a lot of the other women on the table have. And she addressed it, and she admitted it. And she, I think the first thing she says is that everybody needs to be aware, and everybody needs to know the law and the codes, and they need to go do claims, and they need to file lawsuits and everything. The activist, who's also a rapper, who I adore, she was amazing. She says, well, these people don't have time for this. They're privileged enough to learn, to go to school. They have to go out and work. I did love that she respectfully debated her, and at the end the journalist was accepting, and she realized that she was in a position of privilege. And she also, if anything, she suggested for people like her, like the rapper and the activist, to go to create these like seminars with journalists, so the journalists can be exposed to this these different type of experiences, so whenever they do have to report something or anything, they have a view on it, a different perspective. Because, and this is why it's so important to have these discussions, to have these talks, because you learn from other people's experiences. And now I understand why he had everybody put their phones away. These conversations are very much needed. And if you don't know something, it's okay to ask. It's okay to listen. I think that's the better thing to do, to listen. And not only just listen just because you're hearing the other person speak, but actually try to understand what they're trying to inform you, trying to understand what they're trying to get out there. As human beings, we've become so, especially during this time, we become so selfish and so about me, that we've forgotten to feel empathy for other humans. So yeah, this episode really, really got me, and highly recommend watching it.
Especially with the mom of the girl. Gosh. Yeah, that one, yes. I just started crying. So I
did too. Yeah.
It's like overall, like the third one, it tackled the drug conversation about like prohibition, and whether it's right, if we should be going towards more of a legalizing drugs, decriminalizing people who get caught with a little bit, and more primarily in Mexico. And there was the former president of Colombia also there. Then there was like a socialist, and then there was Gael García Bernal, who is like the highlight of my day. So if you guys, he definitely, if you love him, then please stick around through all these episodes for him. But I like that there was a lot of contention too about like what was the right path, what's the right path to go down. And I also think, like, again, like I've said about the perspective, mm-hmm. I think it has to be said, because I think there's always, like, especially from us, like over here at the States, we always think like, and I'm probably guilty of this too, like you kind of box them all in together, right? Like, oh, Mexico has drug cartels and Colombia has whatever, or South America, right? And mm-hmm. you don't realize like there's so many more factors in there, you know. You can't just make it like a big issue. And when I hear these people talking about it, I'm like, oh yeah, like there's so many other factors, which I do know, but you just forget, right? Because you get caught up in your world. And yeah. And so I like that you hear it from them, from those countries, and not necessarily an outsider who I don't know anything about what goes on in there, you know, and unfairly judge people. And so that kind of also made me open my perspective in the yeah. way I think about that whole thing as well.
It did for me too. It was very interesting to see the different peoples and their perspectives. You have somebody who's like, who's a senator in the Mexican government, and then you have the ex-president of Colombia, and then you have Gael García Bernal, and then you have another politician, and then you have a woman who's like invested in doing like psychiatric research for the National yeah. Institute. And
that was
such.
Really interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, it was very interesting. It's a bit difficult, but I will do my very best to talk about these topics and kind of give your perspective on it without having your bias and what yeah. you think of it kind of sway it a little bit. Because you're right, we do tend to judge. And I think it was one of the chefs, Diego Luna does. He's like, are you like proud or something like that to be a Mexican? He's like, well, a while ago, if I would say Mexican, that I'm Mexican, people would think, oh, the food or the traditions.
Yeah, party, tequila.
Yeah. Now, if I say Mexican, they think narco. They think I'm a drug, like a trafficker or something. It's so true, and it's very unfortunate, and a lot has to do with, here we go again, media, film, and television.
Yeah.
That, and I found it interesting that he was discussing that, and then isn't Diego Luna like El Narcos or something like that?
Yeah, but the reason why I think that question got brought up to him when he was doing Narcos, and yeah. he said that, and I have seen the Mexico one, Narcos Mexico, that's on Netflix, and so he said that, yes, these guys are not necessarily like good guys, and we're not trying to glorify them, right. but that he wanted to come at it from the more like, you never get to see that it was actually not just Mexico. They're not just bad guys. They're not just, you know, making drugs. Like, it comes from all these other problems, you know, mm-hmm. and also it is also part of the U.S. problem, who kind of, you know, had a part in making that happen too, you know? So mm-hmm. That's the reason why he took it on, is because like, he felt like he could at least be there to check them and not have like the stereotype where, like, you know, from that thing. And so yeah. it, telling a more well-rounded story, because yeah, those guys are still bad, you know, the drug cartels or whatever, but telling it from a perspective that you may not empathize with them, but maybe with the people who get involved in, like, you know, that are always like the victims of it and that right. sort of thing. So I think, yeah, I found that interesting too, but I think that's also why this episode kind of was really good, that he like decided to take it on as one of the themes, because I think he really wants to help, not the reputation, but I think also just get people to understand, like, there's so many more things that are going on yeah. with like, it's not just drug dealers and like cartel or whatever. It's like, mm-hmm. there's regular people who, if you, like the girl said in the second episode, you know, if they have to choose between, you know, no food or money, like, what are they going to choose? It's easier to go yeah. sell drugs than it is to, you know, like, especially with the lack of opportunities. So these whole conversations, and I think throughout these episodes, and I'm excited to continue watching, is just making you think about things you don't think about. And also from having it from the Mexico perspective and having these intellectuals from like South America and Latin America just makes it a little bit more, want to know more and be a little bit more knowledgeable and do more research and not just stay in the bubble, which I think is good, because if you want to learn, I feel like yeah. he's evoking something with this show that is a good message to be well informed, to, you know, you can listen to people's different perspectives. Your own is not the necessarily the best way, but listen to the other person. Maybe they'll change your mind, you know, or like you'll see something else. And I think that's the whole spirit of Pani Circo. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, no, just to make it clear, I haven't seen Narcos Mexico, so I can't say anything about it. I just did find it interesting that he's in the show and we're having these conversations. But yeah, no, it's very interesting what you just highlighted. Again, I'm trying not to get my personal opinion in this, but it's so easy, like you said, to just judge people. But there's always two sides to a story, and there are two sides of the coin, or however you want to phrase it. And unfortunately, we don't tend to bother to, we're so quick to judge. Yeah, when you hear, oh, this person had drugs, oh my God, you just think the worst thing you can think of that person, he's it because he had drugs, without actually analyzing. And yet again, you know, drugs, it's here we go.
It's a global problem, though.
It is a global problem, unfortunately. But Mexico and Colombia are the producers of the drugs, so it makes it a bit difficult for them. And not only that, me, if I have a business, my business will go out of business if I don't have any customers. And unfortunately, the number one customer of everything that's going on here, it's the U.S.
Yeah.
And it's, we have to call it like it is. So, yeah, it makes you think, and it makes you, because I think they do address that in Mexico, the consumerism is not that bad. It's not
low.
But they never
really call out. And I think throughout these episodes, too, I liked that they didn't really call out any specific country.
Right.
And they don't really mention the US. Like, it's only from the context of what they can solve, which I thought was smart, because that alienates people, right? And I think we're from here, from the States, so we know, like, oh yeah, that's our issue, you know, and like we're the biggest drug consumers, whatever.
Right.
But I really liked that they kept it kind of just finding the talking about it and finding solutions, because I think that also it was smart on their end, because it makes it universal, right? Instead of pinpointing, these are the problems. They were talking in big terms, which, so what would you say, would you say that you love this show or not?
I would say yes, because we're at a moment that we do need to have these conversations, and it's okay to feel uncomfortable. It's okay to learn. It's okay to listen to other people and get other people's perspectives. It's okay to know other stories and other person's experiences and path of lives. So yes, absolutely. Although I did have a little bit of issues with the editing, but you know what, putting that aside, I think the message is far more important here than my nitpicking the editing. So yes, no, yeah, absolutely recommend it.
I agree with you. I love it too, because I think, yeah, some of the editing and the formatting is a little weird, but I think if they were to get another season, they probably would maybe hone that in a little bit. I think it's just a new show trying, and a new format trying different things. And so I kind of like gave him a little leeway as well with that. But if it, I don't know if it might bother some people possibly. So just bear that in mind. I really like what Diego Luna created with this conversation. And like, even just talking to you and describing this show just makes me want to go and learn more. And I can't wait to see the next episodes to kind of think of things that we don't want to think about. Like, these are very kind of dark themes, you know, but I think also it's sort of the perfect time, because we're all in a dark time right now with the pandemic. And so might as well pile on everything else, right? So we can kind of figure it out. And so in that sense, like, I think it's honestly probably perfect timing for him to have debuted this, and for him to address the pandemic in the first episode. So it's like, okay, guys, like, we're all living through this one crappy time. Please stay tuned and listen to the rest of it that people deal with all the time. And maybe you'll have empathy for it because of the situation that, you know, we've all been in for the past 5 months. So I love it. I recommend it. If you're okay with everything we just said, it is going to be a little bit heavy, but I also think it's done in a nice way. And it just reminds us of dialogue that we can actually have that, I don't know, I think we've been lacking in some ways that we've forgotten, that we can debate people and also still be civil about it.
Exactly. Yeah, that these conversations can be held. Yeah, without having to offend or physically injure anybody.
Yeah. And also Gael Garcia Bernal. and Diego Luna reunite in this.
Yeah, they had a little joke going back and forth. And
yes, oh my god, I love so cute.
Yeah, that was hilarious. And personally, on me, because I am a person that tends to curse a lot in Spanish. For some reason, the Spanish cursing is somehow more fascinating to me. But to hear Diego Luna do the same thing, I was like, okay, I'm okay with this. I can curse in Spanish just like Diego Luna. And I can sound as cool as him. It's just me being greedy here. No, in general, it's definitely something. And to be quite honest with you, I am going to be looking forward to the next episodes because mm-hmm. it's certainly, I can't wait. Because he was giving a few hints here and there of the future episodes that we haven't had a chance to watch yet. I think like one is like racism and then like mm-hmm. immigration or migration. And yeah, certainly topics I'm personally interested in. So yeah, I can't wait for the next episodes.
Who knew Diego Luna? I like right? needed this show. Like I love him. I love him even more. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode and us guesting on Pod Clubhouse. You can find us, me and Rosa, we host a podcast called Latinx Land, which is just highlighting and discussing Latinx representation in film and television, and then reviewing films and TV from our lens. And so where can they find you, Rosa?
On every social media platform at Rosa's Reviews. And where can we find you, Kat?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Things Kat Loves. And then if you want to follow our podcast, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Latinx Lens. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. This has been an original Pod Clubhouse production. Pod Clubhouse is a podcast network dedicated to encouraging collaboration among podcasters and friends to bring a fresh voice and diverse perspective on a wide array of content. Please visit and leave a comment for us at podclubhouse.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast feeds on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find us at Pod Clubhouse. Our DMs are always open, and we'd love to hear from you.
Pod Clubhouse.